Hey, good morning, and so glad that you are here today and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today, and grateful for the opportunity to be here, and looking forward to that. If you're a guest, I want to say a special welcome. Thank you so much for being here, and we would love to connect with you. We can do that in one of two ways. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that card out, and at the end of the service, we'll have a place to take up our tithes and offerings, and you can leave that in the offering plate, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. So whether in person or online, if you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to do that, and that way we can know who's worshiping with us today and how we might be able to serve you. Well, I'm excited about today. We've been praying as a church family for quite some time for today, for the next several days together. I have to say, on behalf of Brother Rodney, he apologizes for not being able to be here. Unfortunately, he has gotten quite sick, and so he has a severe upper respiratory infection. Brother Rodney has had quite a few health struggles through the years. He's had different forms of cancer and leukemia and all those sorts of things, and so his immune system is quite low. It's easy for him to get sick. Unfortunately, and then usually when he does, it tends to be more severe than maybe the average person. And so he called me Thursday morning and just really upset that he's not able to come. And so Thursday morning, we began praying, God, what is it you would have us to do? Believing and trusting. This is what I know. God wants to send revival to his people. So when we pray that, we're praying the will of God, and we understand, you know, I've said for many weeks to you now that Brother Ronnie didn't have revival that he could pack up with him and bring over here and it just fall out in Pope County. That's not how revival comes. If we experience revival, it will be because God sent it. And it's not by the will of man, but it's by the will of God. And so we've just been praying and trusting in that. And so I'm excited that this evening, beginning tonight with tonight's service and all the way through the rest of our time together, David Shepherd will be coming and preaching the Word of God for us. I'll have more of a formal introduction for him tonight. He was previously committed to be somewhere this morning, so I apologize. I'm all you got this morning, all right? So we'll pray that in spite of it being me, the Lord will move and work and meet with us this morning, and so looking forward to this time ahead. So let me share with you, just remind you of the schedule and what things will look like. I'm glad that you're here. We're looking forward to this morning. Immediately following our worship service this morning, we will have a good old-fashioned potluck meal. So I hope that you will make plans to stay around and enjoy that time together. It may be that you say, I wasn't aware or didn't know or didn't necessarily plan on that or whatever the case may be. I want to encourage you, stay. This is an opportunity for us to break bread together, opportunity for us to spend time around the table and just continue to build relationships and grow closer together. So plan to stay after the service this morning and then be back with us tonight at 6:30. I know a normal Sunday night service time is at 5 o'clock, but it's at 6:30 tonight. So I hope you'll make plans to be with us. David Shepherd will be with us, our evangelist for the week. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, our schedule is the same. We will have a meal at 5:30, and the service will begin each night at 6:30. Tomorrow night, we're emphasizing families, and so love for all of our families to come and be here. Invite families to come with you. Our potluck tomorrow night, our meal tomorrow night, is Italian theme. If you'll excuse my pointing, there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. I'm sure it'll be down closer to the other end of the building after service. If you'll sign up, maybe you're able to bring something to help with that meal. Love to have you a part of that. Tuesday night is men's night, and so we're emphasizing inviting men. Everybody is welcome to every one of our services, but we're having a barbecue on Tuesday night. So make plans to be a part of that. Again, there's a sign-up sheet out there for that as well. And then Wednesday night is our youth night and students. And so we'll be providing pizza and salad and I'm sure other things along with that. Meal at 5:30, services at 6:30. We've extended invitations to churches and various groups within our association and with our area. within our area, and so hopefully we'll have others join us throughout the week. And so my encouragement to you, as much as possible, clear your calendar, make preparations as much as you can to be here for every service. I really want to encourage you in that as much as possible. I know things come up and sometimes they're just things that are unavoidable, but if you, as much as depends on you, be here as much as you can. And then finally, I want to mention to you, in place of Bible study with the pastor this week, we normally do it on Wednesday mornings, and in place of that, we are having a meal at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, and then we're going to have a traditional noonday service Wednesday at noon. So meal at 11, noonday service at noon. Again, would love you, love for you to be able to come and be a part of that if you're able to, okay? All right, a lot of things happening. Easter is next Sunday, so again, extend invitation, invite people to come and be a part of our service. It's a great opportunity. A lot of people tend to look for opportunities to go worship somewhere on Easter Sunday. I saw a quote this week. I thought it was applicable, and it simply said this, as more people are more willing to attend church than we are willing to invite them. I think that's a good word for us, that we just take a step of faith and be faithful in that. Let me just share this story with you. Really cool happened this week. I mean, just a difficult situation, but how God's at work. Many of you are aware that Ron Rambo has gotten sick, and he had to go into the hospital on Friday, and he went into ICU on Friday. He has been moved to a regular room, and they're still running tests and trying to figure out some things going on with him, but Pastor Jonathan and I went and visited him, and you know, he's there in the ICU, and he's got his oxygen. He's able to communicate and talk, all that kind of thing, but his son is there, and so as soon as we walk in, we're not in long, and his son tells me, he says, hey, I think he's invited everybody on the floor of ICU to the revival. He is, and so, and Ron's saying, man, I just use our regular church cards because I didn't have anything about revival. Well, Pastor Jonathan brought some in, and then one of our deacons went to see him yesterday, and he said, while I was in the room, a nurse came in, and Ron picks up a card, says, hey, let me invite you to our revival. And so, man, he is just sharing and inviting people right where he's at. And so, let me challenge you a little bit to invite folks to come be a part, okay? And the last thing I want to mention to you, we are getting ready for our Ghana mission trip, and finances are coming due for our mission team, and so we're just extending some opportunities to those in our church family that might be interested in being a part of our Ghana mission trip and support that. And so one of those opportunities is our pink envelopes are numbered 1 through 50, and in terms of maybe what you want to give, you're able to give right now. We are going to have some future opportunities in terms of taking up offering and doing some different things, but just begin praying about how the Lord would have you be a part of that, okay? All right, I know that's a lot of announcements. That's a lot of things this morning. I want to read a passage to you that actually Pastor Jonathan reminded me of just a couple days ago. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Man, we've been praying, God, would you send revival? I need revival. We collectively need revival. Churches all over our association, all over our state, all over the nation need revival. And so here in just a minute, we're going to have a time of prayer. And here's what I want to ask you. If you're with me this morning saying, Pastor Chris, I need revival. I want to pray that our church will have revival. I'm going to invite folks to come and that we get on this altar and we beg God to send revival. And so here it is again. He says, O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. May we beg God that he would send revival. And so if you would, if you bow your head, close your eyes, and I'm going to ask, if you're willing and able, will you come and join others here at the front as we're praying for revival this week? May you pray for yourself, willing to pray for those that are around you, pray for our church, maybe praying for people that you've invited. Folks, if we experience revival, it will be because we have gotten really serious about praying and asking God for it. And just pray that over and over again. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh God. Lord, I need revival. I need a new, fresh work in my life. God, I deserve your wrath. But God, would you send mercy? Would you extend mercy to us this week? Would you extend your grace? God, would you revive your work in the midst of the chaos? God, in the midst of all that's happening in the world, God, as folks look around and look on the news and listen to all that's happening and all the things, it just seems like chaos all across our country and the world. God, what if you sent revival? God, what if we experienced revival that would spread, not just for the sake of Second Baptist, but God, that it would spread. And God, you would do something this week that it would cause people to realize that you are alive and well. And that God, we would live out a life of obedience to you. Oh God, would you send revival? God, begin in us. Begin right here. God, we lift up Ronnie to you. I pray you'd touch him from the top of his head to the tips of his toes. Heal his body. God, I'm not sure why these things have taken place and why the changes have happened. But Lord, we just trust you in them. We just believe that you've got a purpose and you have a plan. And God, you want to do something among your people. And so, God, we pray that you would do it this week that only you be glorified for. And God, we pray this morning that your Spirit would fall on this place. And that, God, we would meet with you in a special way this morning. And God, we pray this in the matchless, wonderful, mighty, glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Just stand as we sing, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Love. Thank you. shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. You are forever mine. You are forever mine. Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. And the sounding joy repeating. Jesus saves. See the
save.
Amen. If you believe Jesus saves, say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad Brother Jim preached for us a few weeks back. I believe by way of reminder, I'll help you. He started by trying to teach you the importance of saying amen while a pastor preaches. Brother's hungry. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a popular TikTok video, Instagram reel. I've seen it in a lot of different places, but there's this retaining wall that this remodel's happening in this backyard, it seems, and the landscape folks have placed all these bricks along the top of this wall, almost in domino form. And the video starts with the pushing of this brick, and it goes all the way down this retaining wall, and they all fall over, but then they have spaced them out perfectly, at least in the video, to then when it gets to the end, because they're all leaned up on each other, it gets to the last one, it slides it over just enough, and then so it goes all the way down, then it comes all the way back, and comes all the way back, and when it gets done, they are laid perfectly on this retaining wall. And it's one of those videos of like that really satisfying moment of going, oh man, that was good, right? I mean, husbands, it's like when you get ready and you got to take the wife's car, and you get in the wife's car and you turn it on and the tank is full of gas. It's that, some of y'all aren't jumping in that. I see you. Okay, all right. Now, wives, it's probably that moment that you feel when you walk into your bedroom and you see that the dirty clothes are actually in the hamper, right? Actually made it there. But this morning, I want to talk to you about satisfied. I actually want to talk, I know a lot of times it's cast in a negative mindset, especially kind of in the sports world or in the competitive world, that we're never satisfied, we want to keep driving and all that sort of thing. But in the context of our message today, I want to talk about it in the positive setting. And in satisfaction, are we satisfied in our life? And so just for a moment, here's what I want you to do. I want you just for a moment to, only time today, I'm going to let you check out mentally for just a moment from sitting here this morning. And I want you in your mind to think you're sitting right in front of your most trusted person in your life, the person you can be the most honest, real, and vulnerable with. I want you to imagine just for a moment that that individual had the ability to ask you the question, right now, are you completely and totally satisfied with life and where you're at and what's happening? Or would you have to confess to them of going, you know, I am, but I'm satisfied, but I'm struggling. I'm satisfied, but I'm restless. What would follow? What caveat would you have to put on it to go, I am, yes, but? Because here's what I believe this morning is that we're facing a lot of things in our nation and our country. And just in life in general, obviously a tough few years and going through a pandemic and all those sorts of things. But I just wonder how many of us this morning that we walk in and we're sitting here and we're really struggling because we're not actually satisfied. There's an article out of USA Today that brings about some statistics with regard to satisfaction and where people are at mentally and so on and so forth. Out of the survey that they did in June of 2022, it said that 45% of those surveyed have not felt true happiness dating back to pre-pandemic days. Around 25% surveyed said they don't know or have forgotten what it means to feel truly happy. Some 88% are looking for new experiences to make them smile and laugh, and 78 of those are willing to pay a premium for true happiness. 8 out of 10 said they're willing to do anything they can to buy happiness. And I'm not talking specifically about happiness, but I believe the reason that people are chasing happiness is because they're not really satisfied. And I don't want to make light of what's happening and what's going on by any means. And obviously in the last several years, there's been far more talk about mental health than ever before. And there's a whole lot of discussion and things about that, and I'm not going to jump into that because I'm not interested in trying to make any political statements or any of that sort of thing, other than just to say this, is that I think there's significant reason. Now, there's significant mental health issues that need professional counseling, that need prescription and chemical imbalance, all those sorts of things. I don't dare to try to get in that realm, but I believe a lot of the things that we're describing are falling under this umbrella of mental health issues has a lot to do with the lack of satisfaction, that depression and anxiety and some of these things that people are facing are much to do with a lack of satisfaction and a longing to fill a void in their life that they don't know how to fill. And I just wonder how many of us this morning, if we're here just to be really honest, man, we're just restless. We're just struggling. We're satisfied, but man, we got to add a caveat to it. We got to put something into it. And so this morning, I want to share with you from Psalm 73. We're going to begin in verse 25. It says this: "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And I pray this morning that you, God, would have perfect liberty. God, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to be obedient. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The main idea of the text is this: God is the only one who brings complete satisfaction. God is the only one who brings about complete satisfaction. And so the question then today is, are you satisfied in your situation right now? Are you satisfied with where the Lord has you in life right now? Is there a peace about your life? Is there a calmness, a sense of resting that you're right where God wants you to be? He is providing for you. He is caring for you. And man, there's a sense of contentment and peace and satisfaction where you are right now. Is that true of you and your life? Well, I think the text this morning from Psalm 73 has some things to say to us this morning, some truth for us. And so there five ideas within this that I want us to hang our hat on, if you will. Number one, God satisfies alone. God satisfies alone. Meaning all by himself and all of who he is, he does it and does it alone. Look at verse 25. The psalmist begins with this rhetorical question in terms of our text today. is whom have I in heaven but you, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. And so what's the psalmist doing here? The psalmist is setting the stage and just simply the rhetorical question, who do I have in heaven besides you, Lord? And it's a rhetorical one. It's a, there is nobody that will satisfy, nobody that meets his need. We're going to see this in a moment. There's nothing. And so God and God alone satisfies. Listen to how he follows it up. And there's none upon earth that I desire beside you. So the psalmist here covers heaven and earth, saying there's nothing in the spiritual realm outside of God that is worth having. There's nothing in the spiritual realm in which that I need for satisfaction for my life and sustainability that is outside of God. That whom have I in heaven? There's nothing worth having except God and God alone. So he not only covers the spiritual realm, but he covers the very physical realm, and he deals with earth. He said, there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. Friend, I can tell you, man, the way to have satisfaction is to be hungry and desirous of an intimate, close relationship with God. To be hungry for God and nothing else. Listen, that's revival. If we experience revival this week, it will be because folks in this room, you and I, that we get to a point where we go, man, I want God, nothing else. God is all I need. One of Brother Roddy's favorite sayings is, you'll never have enough until God is enough. And when God is enough, you'll always have enough. I just wonder how many of us are struggling with so many things in our lives. We're restless. We're frustrated. We're angry. We're discouraged. We're depressed. We're all of these things. And again, listen, I understand there's some real things. It's not always just as simple as this, but I do believe for many of us in this room, it is as simple as this, is that we've let a lot of things creep in. A lot of external implications creep in that has created self-doubt, or it's created a lack of unsatisfaction. And man, it comes from all sorts of places. I believe what the psalmist is talking about here, we're going to talk about the internal factors. But here in verse 25, I think he's talking about external factors. He's talking about, man, you know, it's not, whom have I in heaven but you, and there's none upon earth that I desire more than you. He's going to talk about himself internally in just a moment. But at this point, it's looking without and going, man, God is enough. God is all that I have. God is all that I need. And friend, can I just tell you this morning that there is no level of achievement within your career that's going to bring total satisfaction. Now, it may bring appeasement, and it may bring temporary happiness, but there's always the next level. There's always the next accomplishment. There's always the next achievement. There's always somebody that's a step ahead, doing better, achieving more. And we put them on a box and we're chasing after them, but the reality is they've got somebody else on a box that they're chasing. Because your career can't provide you happiness. Your degree can't provide you total satisfaction. And it's not that any of these things are inherently bad, but we tend to put these things in a category they were never intended to be put in. They were never intended to bring satisfaction. They were never intended to bring happiness. Man, your kids will not bring you total satisfaction. It's amazing to me. Obviously, our kids are involved in a lot of activities and different things. It's amazing to me to go watch and see some of these activities that they're doing. And I'll watch moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas try to live out their failed athletic careers or their failed whatever through their kids. And that's why they're angry, that's why they're mad, that's why they're yelling at an official that's getting paid $10 for a game that they're officiating. I know I'm just going off right now, but man, that's like deep down, that's the issue that's going on, is that they're not satisfied. They're trying to live through their kids. And listen, man, I know I'm going to stay right here. Folks are trying to live through their grandkids. And man, listen, little Johnny is incredible. He is the greatest grandson on the face of the earth. I know you've shown me pictures or, you know, whatever. And he is incredible. But friend, he's not going to bring you total satisfaction. He's not going to bring you peace. Retirement, I mean, just the list goes on and on. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none on earth. There's nothing external besides God Himself that brings satisfaction. I think a little bit of this is why sometimes, man, churches get up in arms with one another. It's because there's so much changing, there's so much in and around us that we can't control. That sometimes church folks come to church and they see changes, they see things happening, and it's a desperation to try to keep something exactly the same because they don't want to face the change because everything else in the world is changing and they can't control it. And it brings a sense of restlessness. And it brings a sense of losing control. And it brings a sense of a lack of peace. But friend, can I tell you this? As your pastor, man, I think the local church, I think Second Baptist, man, you ought to be plugged in, be a part, and it's going to be an incredible blessing in your life. But hear me real clearly. Second Baptist will not bring total satisfaction in your life. Your fellow church members will not bring satisfaction. Hey, listen, I love fried chicken, fix and go tear something up, but it ain't fixing to bring total satisfaction. It's God and God alone. And I'm just wondering if what we need this week, if what we need over the next few days is to spend more and more time letting go of all these things that we are white-knuckled holding on to, convinced is going to bring us rest, going to bring us peace, going to bring us satisfaction. If over the next day, few days, we just need to learn to try to release those things. And get white-knuckled a hold of God. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Do you hear that? The fullness of joy? Man, that sounds like a satisfied customer to me. Not perfect, not that life's not going to go wrong, not that there's not going to be struggles and issues. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about that there's a sense of peace. There's the kind of calm that's in your life when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and there was a calmness that was there. Man, and when you read that story, isn't in your mind just, man, this sense of level of calmness like maybe they had never seen before. But in that moment, man, then that's what God can do in our own lives. If we'll let Him. So number one, God satisfies alone. Number two, God satisfies when everything else fails. Look at verse 26. "My flesh and my heart fail." My flesh and my heart fail. Remember, I told you just a moment ago, I think in verse 25, he's focused on the external. We dealt with all the external, man, all the things in your life that you're looking toward, your career and all those kinds of things. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. And here's what happens now in verse 26, "My flesh and my heart fail." And this is the point, the drive here is not just externally, but internally. That, man, our feelings drive us. Our emotions drive us. Our dreams, our visions, our standards that we've set for ourselves. Man, all of these things that are internal that drive us, and what they've done is they become thieves and they have stolen genuine godly satisfaction. The fullness of joy. It says, "My heart and my flesh fail." Why is it that folks can go and work and put in a full day's work, but go home and they're still unhappy and they're still struggling? Man, they pour into all that they have in terms of their marriage or their relationships. Why is it that they try to conjure up every ounce that they have, every fiber that we have to do all that we can, but still when we get alone and we get at home and we're sitting in the dark, there's still a restlessness down in our soul. The psalmist says, my heart and my flesh fail me. Your emotions fail you. Our emotions convince us of things that aren't reality. Man, obviously we live in a day and time of so many of these things happening. It's no coincidence that the enemy is attacking all across our nation, specifically with regard to all sorts of stuff related to identity. And just trying to destroy, trying to create a sense of restlessness, trying to create a sense of questioning everything about who God says we are. I just wonder, is there anybody this morning going, Pastor, I'm satisfied, but. And the psalmist says, my heart, I don't have anybody in heaven besides God. And there's none on earth that can satisfy. There's nothing external. But he even goes on to say, there's nothing internal either. There's nothing in my flesh that I have the ability to cause total satisfaction. I can't change it, create a mindset that'll do that. Man, it's only God and God alone. Psalm 84:2 says, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Man, we've got to figure out how to get over ourselves and be hungry and thirsty for God and for God alone. God has not called you to this bootstrap Christianity where, man, tough times come, so we just pull our boots up a little bit tighter and we cinch our belt up a little bit more and we grit our teeth and push on through. And I just got to work harder. I got to do more. I got to all that sort of thing. Man, that creates a sense of restlessness, a dissatisfaction. But here's the deal. We sang just a moment with Jesus saved that the cross declares the glory or the victory. And the reality is this, is that Jesus won the victory years ago. And when you and I surrendered to Him to give our life to Him, He comes and lives within us and He saves us and He does it totally and completely. And more of the Christian life is not just about trying hard and doing more, but rather it's more about dying to self and let God do it through us. And let Him provide the satisfaction. Let Him meet our needs. Let Him work in and through us. So God satisfies when everything else fails. Number three, God satisfies in totality. Completely. There's no partial work. Look at verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist is saying, man, what keeps me going? What sustains me? What provides? What cares? What continues and gives me the grace to keep going? It's God and God Himself. God alone. He does it completely and totally. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The idea of portion here is that when the Israelites would go and they would have victory, we talked about the sin of Achan, is that all of the spoils of war, all the things that they had gotten, they were to not be kept by the people, but they were to be given to the Lord and sacrifice for him, but sin, Achan kept some back, which caused sin. But later on, as they have more victories, as they go in, and man, gold and all these things that are of value were able to be kept, man, they divide them up. That was the portion. That was the spoils of war. And this is the idea, is that there has been a war, and there was a war for your soul, and Jesus won. And when you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, the beauty is this, is that God doesn't just promise some spoils of war over here. He doesn't just conjure something up, but rather He gives Himself through His Son Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that Psalmist says, listen, my heart fails, my flesh fails, but listen, God is my strength and He is my portion. What is it about this week? It is about us being reminded that you and I have access to the throne room of heaven, and you and I have access to the King of Kings, and He wants to give all of Himself to all of you. And there we find satisfaction. There we find rest and peace and godly contentment. Philippians 3:8 says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Number four, God satisfies those who stay close. Look at verse 27. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish, who have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. The psalmist is right. He says, amen. There's none. There's nothing. God alone is the one who satisfies. God alone is the one that is my portion and my strength. Man, everything in me fails. But he said, there's repercussions for those that are far from you. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. Now, for those in terms of us and New Testament, understanding this, that those that have not surrendered their heart and life to the Lord Jesus, those who haven't repented and placed their faith and trust in Christ, to perish means to be separated from God for all eternity. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But listen, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God loved you so much that He gave His one only Son to be the free sacrifice on the cross for you. He's offering that free gift of salvation. And the Bible promises for all who call upon Him, all who repent, place their faith and trust in Him, that He will save you. It's a promise of Scripture. But then those of us that are believers, as we get further and further away from the Lord, we talked recently about the Lord chastens those whom He loves. And God loves you too much to let you just be any old place. So we're in a dangerous place when we're far from God. He goes on, he says, you have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, adultery. Those that have seemingly made a commitment to the Lord and then gotten far from God and serving everything else in their life but God. I just wonder if that's any of us this morning, that we've gotten distracted by so many things in our lives that we're far from serving the Lord. None of us would ever want to admit that we've committed adultery against the Lord. That we've gone and found somebody else. Found some other God. Found something else. Created idols in our lives. I just wonder how many of us might be this morning that, man, we're a lot further from God than we ever cared to be, ever realized we were. James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Psalm 119, 155 says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. God satisfies those who are close to Him, who stay close. Number five, God satisfies through simple faith. Look at what the text says in verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Listen to what he says to draw back to him. He said, it's good for me to draw near to God. How's he done it? I've put my trust in the Lord God. Man, there's some of you, I'm convinced this morning, maybe say, Pastor, I'm really not very satisfied, if I'm honest. I'm struggling, a lot of things going on in my life. And I realize, man, life is hard. There's a lot of difficult things. But friend, can I tell you this? If you'll just trust Him and return to Him, if you'll just be honest and transparent with Him, going, God, man, I've put a lot of stock in this, a lot of faith in this, a lot of trust in this, and all these sorts of things. I really don't have much peace right now. I don't have much satisfaction. Man, would you just trust Him? Lamentations 3, 25 and 26 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him. To the soul who seeks Him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's a promise from the Word of God that if you will seek to draw near to Him today, that He'll draw near to you. That God waits longingly for you. God wants to send revival to you this week. He wants to send revival to me. But He's longing for us to come to Him. The Bible says He's jealous for us. And so here's the invitation this morning. Number one, if you've not yet surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, and you say, man, I'm not satisfied. I don't have a relationship with Christ. I've never surrendered my heart and life to Him. Then friend, this is what I would tell you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, make the most important decision of your life, and that is to surrender everything to Him. Repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Him. And then the second part of the invitation is this. For those of you that know Christ, those of you that have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, that where we started this morning, you're sitting with your most trusted friend and they ask you the most poignant question, are you satisfied? And I just wonder how many this morning, if you're really gut level honest, man, Pastor, I'm not. I've let this or let that. And I'm not really just been resting in the Lord, trusting Him. Satisfied with Him. Here's what I want to invite you to do here in just a moment then. When we pray and you come and get on this altar and you ask God to forgive you, and And then you just pour your heart out to Him. Ask Him to help you. The psalmist simply says, I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. I pray, God, if there's anybody here that's lost and doesn't know you, God, I pray you'd save them. God, give them grace to call out on you right now for salvation. And if that's you this morning, you may pray something like this. Man, words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's the attitude of your heart. If your desire is to be saved, then you pray right now. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Now, you remain in the attitude of prayer. And if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed today and asked God to save me and forgive me of my sins. With head bowed, eyes closed, if you prayed it with all your heart today, I want you to just look right up here at me. Say, Brother Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me and forgive me of my sins. God, I pray in this moment that we'd respond to you. God, you work among your people. I pray in Jesus' name. You may in attitude of prayer. God dealt with your heart about something. You want to come. Maybe you struggle with satisfaction. Maybe you just want to come and just continue to pray that God will send revival. I want to invite you to come pray here at the front with others. As God dealt with your heart, you come. Somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Don't wait on others to move, you come. Thank you. Lord, you're good, and there's none like you. I thank you for today. I thank you for the work that you're doing among your people. God, I pray that, God, the things that we've brought before you, especially in the last few moments, God, that you would work, you would be glorified. God, you would help us to become more like you. God, I pray, would you send a revival? God, we need it. We need it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Well, thank you for being here. I want to remind you, we're going to have our potluck service after, or potluck meal immediately after service this morning. And so, those of you may not be aware, if you'll excuse my pointing, but you can go out these doors, and there's a hallway just on the other side of this wall. You can follow that down, and there's plenty of food. So we would love for you to be with us and enjoy that time, guest or longtime friend, whatever the case may be. Love for you to come be a part of that. We will have an opportunity to give as we leave today, opportunity for us to give our regular tithes and offerings. And so thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. The Lord has been gracious to us. And we are grateful for the way that you've chosen to give and been able to give this year. I do want to say a word about the next several services. Again, be back with us tonight, 6:30. Make plans to be here. Invite somebody. Come with them. Ask them to come with you. But every service tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we will take up a love offering. And that offering will help go to help be a blessing to David Shepherd, our evangelist for the week, and be a blessing to him. And so I hope that you'll make plans to be here each night. Pray about what the Lord would have you to give. Every night we'll have an offering, and that's what that will go to, okay? All right, well, let's stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed. I'll pray for our meal, and so you can go ahead, and whoever's going to push somebody down to get to the front of the line, that's on you, all right? So let me pray. God, you're gracious and kind, and we thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word and the truth of your word. Thank you for all the hands that helped prepare the meal today. I pray you bless them. Pray you bless the food, nourished our body. God, I pray that, God, you would bless the offering today. God, you multiply and use it for the advancement of your kingdom and the multitude of your ministry. And so, Lord, help us to be a witness for you. God, to give us safety coming back tonight. Be with David as he travels today, and Lord, just watch over him, Lord, I pray you give him a clear message for us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.